T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
12 minutes past 5 o'clock. Stephen Eric, Jonathan Lowell hanging out on this Saturday here at CCO. Long ball game in the Grapefruit League. Pirates beat the Twins 13-5. 3.5 hours of Grapefruit League baseball today. Twins and Phillies tomorrow from Fort Myers. I didn't bring it up earlier, but there's really no local connection to the Frozen Four title game at Ritter Arena. Women's hockey, Clarkson against Colgate. Clarkson beat Ohio State 1-0. Colgate beat Wisconsin 4-3. So it is Clarkson against Colgate tomorrow at Ritter Arena for all the marbles in women's hockey. Maybe not the way they drew it up as far as local or even regional appeal to that Frozen Four.
Well, there's no doubt they would have loved to have had Badgers Buckeyes, because you've got the Big Ten connections and the proximity to Wisconsin, obviously very close, and I'm sure some Ohio State people would have found their way here to the Twin Cities, but they're not going to get it. So Northeast and the Midwest for your Frozen Four championship.
So there you go.
Probably tickets available.
Yeah, good seats available, I would assume, for that over at Ritter Arena. Target Center, busy. Girls hoops, 3A and 4A title games coming up tonight. Boys tournament next week. We really didn't have a ton of time to talk, but we'll get the college scoreboard. Men's and women's tournament, second round underway. Virginia goes down. We finally saw it. A 16-1. And what was it? Maryland, Baltimore?
Baltimore County.
Yeah. And I was telling Jonathan during this long Twins game in Bradenton against the Pirates, I happened to hear their conference championship game at Vermont. They were playing the Catamounts in Vermont, and Westwood One had the game. I happened to be in Arizona, and I was running an errand, or I was in the car. I'll leave it at that. And I was going up and down the dial, and I landed on Westwood One's coverage of these conference title games, and I heard that, and heard the end of that game where Baltimore won that game and punched your ticket to the tournament. They draw number one seed in Virginia and are the first team of the first 16 to beat a one. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is shock and awe. Now we knew at some point this might happen. But I don't think we thought it would be yesterday with the Cavaliers going down to the Retrievers of Maryland, yeah. Baltimore County. I'm hoping that's after a golden retriever. I used to have a golden, yeah. Kobe. So I don't know what the retriever means as far as the nickname goes. But, yeah, what a huge win and a convincing win, Stevie T, 75-54. And I'm just going off the top of my head now. If you think about all the great moments in Baltimore sports, certainly the Colts have won a Super Bowl. The Orioles have won multiple World Series.
Well, yeah, the Colts once upon a time when they were in Baltimore won not only before that Super Bowl.
They won championships.
Yeah, they won NFL championships. And then the Baltimore Orioles, you look at those Oriole teams that just absolutely ran roughshod over the Twins in the 69 and 70 American League Championship Series. Those were the first 2 years
of
divisional
champs.
Yeah, and the Orioles just flat out dominated the Twins.
Well,
they had
Hall of Famers in that rotation up and down, from Jim Palmer to everybody else. And then, of course, you had Boog Powell and Paul Blair and Frank Robinson and Brooks Robinson.
Brooks Robinson over at the high corner.
And, of course, I left out the Baltimore Ravens. They've got two Super Bowl wins. Yeah. But now you can maybe make the statement that two of the biggest upsets in sports history involve Baltimore teams. The Baltimore Colts were stunned by the New York Jets in Super Bowl
III. That's right.
That turned it around, AFL, NFL.
Yeah,
now you have
right.
Maryland, Baltimore County slaying Virginia. So give it up for Baltimore.
Now, another thing I brought up, and I told Jonathan when I got into the building today, that I remember reading something before the tournament. I can't remember where it was. It could have been on Twitter, and I followed a link to a guy, a reputable writer, saying that in this year's tournament, he saw Virginia as the most vulnerable number one seed to being beat by a 16. So I'm not saying he went out on a limb and predicted, actually, that the Virginia Cavaliers would get beat. But he said of all the number ones, of the four number ones, they were the most vulnerable or apt to get upset. And here we go. I think it's great for college hoops. I think it shows that these teams that sneak in, the underdogs that come out of these mid-majors, if you will, these conferences that really get no indication, you know, that in any given game, they can beat the big boys.
Well, and this is really March Madness personified. I mean, this is why people get into it. They love seeing these kind of upsets. I mean, you go back to day one when Loyola of Chicago won on a buzzer beater to advance. And the thing that got me on the Baltimore County victory over Virginia was the score. It didn't take a buzzer beater. It didn't go down to the final seconds. This was convincing. I mean, 75-54, a 21-point victory over the top seed. So this wasn't some fluke. Now, I don't know how they're going to do the rest of the way. We'll find out. But maybe Maryland-Baltimore County could make a run. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would be extraordinary. Considering all the turmoil among the Blue Blood programs and all the whispers, the fact that we have not heard the end of the FBI investigation, we've had some leaks, we've had some accusations come to light. There is a lot of turmoil. There is a lot of concern of ultimately what this will mean for the Blue Blood programs. But here you've got a Division I call. Maryland-Baltimore County takes down, and I wouldn't put Virginia in the category of one of those elite perennial powers, but they are one of those programs maybe in the next tier. You can't put
they've
them
got
with
a lot
Duke.
Of tradition.
Yeah, but you can't put them in the category of Duke or Carolina or Kansas.
No, but they've
I would
got a
say
lot of tradition.
Yeah, they're in that next group.
Well,
I would say
they were 31-2, 20-1 in the ACC. So this year they certainly were a dominant team. But I totally agree. In fact, that's what I've heard all day is, well, it was great to see Maryland Baltimore County win, but Al Schock was running up and down our newsroom saying the only thing that would have made it better was had they beaten Duke. And I think that's the sentiment of a lot of people out there. I know you would love to see Duke go down, Stevie T.
Oh, boy. Don't get me started. 520 here at CCO, 48 degrees. We'll come back. We'll have a tournament scoreboard update. The men and the women, by the way, Minnesota got their opening win over Green Bay. They play Oregon in Eugene late tomorrow night, 9:30 start Central Time. So it'll be a late one if you want to stay up and see the
Golden. Second seeded Ducks, basically. Yeah. Right there in their home city, Eugene, Oregon. So if Minnesota can get out of that thing, then watch out. The Gophers could make a run.
All right, coming up, we'll have a rundown of the tournament scores. We'll have Kirk Cousins and other Viking moves in the spotlight. And the Timberwolves have had two big wins, but they need more, including potentially at San Antonio tonight with Houston coming to town tomorrow night. We'll get into all of that coming up here on A Sports Saturday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out on a Saturday afternoon, Sports Saturday, ahead of the Wolves and the Spurs. Big games for the Wolves in a very tough stretch. We'll talk more about that coming up. And, of course, the Vikes make a splash. They get Kirk Cousins. They had other help as well, so that's all coming up. But right now, a tournament scoreboard. Let's get up to date on what's going on in the NCAA men's and women's tournaments.
Thank you very much, Steve. It is the first weekend of basketball bedlam across the country. It is the NCAA tournaments. Both the men's and the women's tournaments are underway. We will start with the men. They are in their second round, first day of the second round, and a couple of games ongoing right now. At the half in Boise, number fifth seeded Kentucky leads 13th seeded Buffalo 51-42. And in Dallas, third seeded Tennessee in the first half. They lead 11-seeded Loyola Chicago 15-10. Earlier today in Pittsburgh, both games are complete. Number one seed Villanova, they take down Alabama 81-58. Second-seeded Duke out of the Midwest. They're with Kansas. They took down number seven Rhode Island 87-62. Coming up a little bit later on, the Wichita regional or sub-regional, number one seed Kansas out of the Midwest takes on number eight seed Seton Hall. Number four seed Gonzaga, number five seed Ohio State. That'll take place in Boise after the Kentucky-Buffalo game is over. In Dallas, the second game of the night there, number three seed Texas Tech will take on six-seeded Florida. That game out of the South region. And then in Wichita, number three seed Michigan, number six seed Houston. That's in the West. That'll take place around 8:30-ish this evening, again, after Kansas Seton Hall. The second day of the Women's National Tournament is underway, and there are four games that are currently going on as they finish up. This will be the last four in the first round of play. Number six seed Iowa taking on 11-seeded Creighton. That game tied at 21 in the second quarter. Number four seed Stanford taking on number 13 seed Gonzaga. That is a 5-4 game. Gonzaga leading early in the first. Number two seed Texas, they are in the Kansas City Regional. They're taking on 15-seeded Maine. Texas is up 19-8 late in the first quarter. And number one seed in Mississippi State, they're one seed in the Kansas City Regional. They're taking on 16-seeded Nicholls State. Mississippi State up 31-15 early in the second quarter. Finals from earlier today, number six seed LSU goes down to number 11 seed Central Michigan out of the MAC. It was a big day for the MAC. We'll get to that in a second. Central Michigan wins 78-69 in the upset. Number 5 seed Duke, they take down 12 seeded Belmont 72-58. Number 3 seed Florida State, they take down 14th seeded Little Rock 91-49. 9th seeded Quinnipiac, they take down 8th seeded Miami out of Florida 86-72. Number 4 seed Georgia holds on at home to beat 13th seeded Mercer 68-63. Number 3 seed Ohio State, they move on after an 87-45 win over George Washington. Number 11 seed Buffalo, the second team out of the MAC. There were two teams that made it out of the MAC, both 11 seeds. Buffalo moves on, as well as Central Michigan. Buffalo upset 6-seeded South Florida, 102-79 the final there. Number 10 seed Nebraska taking on 7-seeded Arizona State, and the Sun Devils take down the Cornhuskers 73-62. Number 9 seed Oklahoma State defeated Syracuse 84-57. This one is tough to read. Number 12 seed Florida Gulf Coast takes down number 5 seed Missouri 80-70 in Palo Alto. And number 3 seed UCLA, they take down 14th seeded American at home 71-60. There is one more game to discuss today. That is top overall seed Connecticut. They defeated 16th seeded St. Francis of Pennsylvania 140-52.
Oh.
Let me repeat that. 140-52.
A tournament game.
In an NCAA tournament game.
Oh. Is that 88 points?
At the half, it was 94-31.
How can that be good for the game, for anybody? And I know there's been a lot of arguments about UConn and this dynasty. How can that be good? How can that be good for a game, for the game, when Gino Auriemma goes around the country and stocks up on the top talent, and generally every year is the overwhelming favorite to win it all? Now, I know once upon a time there was John Wooden in UCLA and all of that. I just don't know how it's good for the game. That really, in just about every year, and I know there's been an upset along the way.
South Carolina won it a year ago.
Right.
But Mississippi State was the team that actually beat Connecticut. Remember right. that. It was Mississippi State that beat Connecticut in
Carolina
the national semifinals,
the
and Carolina beat Mississippi State
right.
in the national championship.
Well, I'll say what I always say, though. If you don't like it, if you're out there, you know, coaching women's college basketball at the D1 level, then stop them. You got to find a way to stop them, because you're right. I remember as a kid when UCLA had the dynasty with John Wooden and, you know, Lou Alcindor / Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, those guys. Everybody couldn't stand UCLA. They thought that was boring for college basketball. Eventually they got toppled, and now they're just another program. But I think somebody has to step up. Once upon a time, it was Pat Summitt in Tennessee. It seemed like it was Tennessee and UConn every year. And, you know, she was always right there on the precipice of knocking Oriema down. But I still give the credit to UConn because they get it done. Now, is it good? Is it good? I agree with you. I don't think there's any suspense. It may turn viewers away. To me, they're the evil empire. They're the New York Yankees, UCLA, whatever you want to call it. But then somebody else has to figure it out. They can't get every blue chip player. They only allow so many scholarships.
Yeah, that's true.
Step up somebody.
Yeah,
maybe Marlene Stallings has got something brewing. Who knows?
One other score to update you on, and this is for our friends across the river. Wisconsin Oshkosh, they are in the Division III National Championship game. That is going on as we speak. Wisconsin Oshkosh leads Nebraska Wesleyan 24-19 midway through the first half. We'll keep you updated on that score as well.
All right.
Look at Jonathan glow. March Madness. There's a glow above Jonathan.
And this is even with Arizona going out early and both Missouri teams going out early. My rooting interests are basically gone, but that's okay.
You're just a pure fan.
Basketball is still somewhat pure.
He's a fanatic.
5:32 here at CCO. We'll have a quick update on the weather. We got it in talk Wolves. We got it in talk Vikes. All on the way. Sports Saturday is Steve and Eric hanging out. Long Twins game in Bradenton. Pirates pummel the Twins 15-3. Phil Hughes not the best day. Twins and Phillies in Fort Myers tomorrow. We get started at noon. Don't forget Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, Mike, 9:30 to noon. Then the Twins. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon following the ballgame. Then we have the Wolves and the Houston Rockets tomorrow night from Target Center. Pregame 5:30, tip 6 o'clock. Wolves, though, have the dreaded back-to-back, and this isn't easy, at San Antonio tonight. Pregame 7, tip 7:30, and then home to Houston tomorrow. Day off, L.A. Clippers in on Tuesday, and then a trip to New York on Friday. This is a big stretch for the Wolves. Eric, I was gone visiting my daughter in Arizona last Saturday and Sunday. But on Sunday, they picked up a huge win over the Golden State Warriors in a matinee. I know Steph Curry wasn't there, but they still beat the defending champs. A tough game, maybe the toughest game in this brutal stretch. Houston's been very good. That's not going to be easy. But the Wolves need to find a way and give them credit. They went on the road and beat the Wizards as well. Those are two huge wins for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Karl-Anthony Towns, with the Jimmy Butler out, I think has not only assumed the role of being the star on the floor for Minnesota, but also team leadership. I was at the Golden State game, and he took over that contest in the fourth quarter, outplaying Kevin Durant, who's one of the greatest players on the globe. So I'm giving Kat a lot of credit for taking on that Jimmy Butler leadership role, in addition to putting up great numbers in the box score. He's averaging 26 points in his last five games. He scored 30 or more in the last two. He's the double-double leader in the NBA. So Karl-Anthony Towns, the young all-star, I think, is maturing in the wake of the Jimmy Butler injury. And by the way, Stevie T, the T-Wolves are now 4-3 since Jimmy Butler went down with that knee injury. So they're above 500. I think that, you know, that's not bad. But they have no time to celebrate or gloat. This game tonight's huge down in San Antonio. And their record in San Antonio in the last 25 is 1-24. They don't do very well deep in the heart of Texas. So they got to go down there and beat all the odds to get a victory tonight.
Well, and these are huge games for San Antonio. Right now, Portland's separated a little bit. They've won 11 games in a row. So they're the three seed. Houston and Golden State, they're in. We talked about that a month ago. The Rockets and the Warriors are in good shape. Portland has separated themselves a little bit. So they're in third right now. Timberwolves are in fifth, 2.5 games out of third, a full game out of fourth, which is Oklahoma City. But you make a great point. Right now, Denver is ninth, and the Wolves are only two games ahead of Denver. The LA Clippers have fallen to 10th, and the Wolves are just 2.5 games ahead of the LA Clippers, and they come to Minneapolis on Tuesday night. So they're all big. Finding a way to grind out victories without Jimmy Butler in this brutal stretch. But you can't say enough how big the wins over Golden State and Washington on the road were. They were huge. They might look back on those two games and say, those were the two games that helped us get in.
Absolutely. I you know, at halftime of the Warriors game, and I believe Golden State had the lead at the half. I was talking to a high-ranking Timberwolves front office person that you and I both know, and he said, I just hope we don't have a seven-game losing streak, because at the time they'd lost three in a row. It looked like they may get beat by Golden State. Then, of course, they're going on the road to Washington and San Antonio and Houston, and then tomorrow here in Minneapolis. The worry was, where were they going to get a win or two? Well, they came back, got the monster victory over Golden State, then the road win, which I totally agree with you. That was a very good win in D.C. against a playoff-bound Washington Wizards team. Now, all of a sudden, the narrative has changed a bit. But things are so bunched up in the West that if Minnesota loses tonight, they're tied with San Antonio, and based on what happens around the association, they could go from the 5 seed right now. You could wake up in the morning and look at the standings when you're reading that Sunday newspaper that I know you love to do. They could be at 8 or 7. I mean, that's where we are in the NBA's Western Conference. It's a scrum.
And they have not been competitive against Houston. A few teams have been this season. Houston's been so dominant. That's a Sunday night game at Target Center. Then the LA Clippers, who are now on the outside looking in on Tuesday. Then the trip to New York. And then a week from today, they're in Philly to play the 76ers. And the 76ers are a team that are certainly in the thick of it and look to be in good shape, because there's not a lot of drama in the East. The top eight, look at Miami and Milwaukee. They're 15.5 games out of first, but 6 full games ahead of 9th place Detroit. So there isn't a ton of drama there, but still going on the road and playing a solid Sixers team is no bargain. As we continue to move through the schedule, then the Timberwolves start to get a bit of a break. They get Memphis at home, Atlanta at home. They're on the road at Dallas, home to Utah. They go on the road to Denver. They're at L.A., home to Memphis again, and home to Denver to close it out. Denver's no line, but it gets a little easier as you move toward the end of the regular season. But they're still playing teams that are fighting for playoff position. 2 huge games with the Nuggets loom, a big game with the Jazz looms in that final push to the end of the regular season. So they need to find a way. No shame in losing at San Antonio. No shame in losing to Houston. But then that makes the Tuesday night game against the LA Clippers almost a must. Then you have to have that.
Well, and you know, they need to find a way to try to win tonight, though, just from the sense of proving that they can go into San Antonio and knock off the Spurs. Now, this is the 3rd meeting of the season. Opening night, remember, they lost down there. Yeah. And then they came back and won a home game here in the Twin Cities. So, look, this 2-game winning streak could quickly be a 2-game losing streak if they don't take care of business. We'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, the Clippers game looms large. You brought up Philadelphia. Philadelphia won here earlier in the season when Joel Embiid had his way against Cat. So I think there's not going to be any gimmies. If they're going to get in and punch a playoff ticket for the first time since 2004, they're going to have to earn it. I do know this. When they win their next game, assuming they win at least one more, and I'm going to go out on the proverbial limb and say they will, they'll reach the 500 mark. If they get a win tonight, they'll guarantee themselves a 500 season, which has not happened since the 2003-04 team that went to the Western Conference Finals. So in these parts, that's a hip, hip hooray, if they can get a win tonight or tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever it might come.
I'm still very impressed, though, when you touched on what Carl Anthony Towns has done and their record since Jimmy Butler went down. It didn't take long for Jimmy Butler to put his mark on this team, and he was clearly the leader and their best player. But in these stretches where Butler's been out of the lineup, it still says that, you know, this core, and that's Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and the supporting cast around them, have to find a way. That's how it works. The Timberwolves in some way could have said, well, we lost our top guy and, you know, we struggled a little bit. We had this brutal schedule, and then all of a sudden, you know, the season went awry. We'll see you next year. I like the fact that they found a way to beat Golden State. And I really like the fact that they found a way to come back from double digits down in D.C. That's a good Wizards team. I mean, that's no joke. They're a 5 seed right now in the West, and they have a chance to move as high as a 3 seed in the East, as high as a 3 seed in the East. So they're no slouch. They've got a ton of talent. That may have been their biggest win of the year on the road against the Wizards.
Well, and especially because it was against a team in the East where they've really struggled on the road, losing to those bottom feeders like Atlanta, Orlando, Brooklyn, the Chicago Bulls. So, yeah, I agree with you. Going into D.C., that one surprised me. I listened to some of that on the radio with Alan Horton's call, and they won dramatically down the stretch. I believe Jeff Teague got a huge steal to kind of help seal it. So a good win for Minnesota. But back to your point about, you know, dealing with the loss of Jimmy Butler. Look, there's no doubt it was a dagger. This guy's the heartbeat of the team. He's the face of the franchise. But look around the league. Other teams have lost key guys and managed to keep winning. Boston, Gordon Hayward, they've kept winning. Cleveland, Kevin Love out. The Cavaliers are still very much a factor.
Well, they remade their team around
LeBron
James. Right, they
totally made it over. And then you look at, say, Golden State's really got some injury issues now. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Iguodala's been banged up, but they're still very good. The New Orleans Pelicans, they lost DeMarcus Cousins, and a lot of us thought they were cooked, and they've gotten better without Cousins for whatever reason. So my point is, yeah, you can lose somebody, but in pro sports, you got to keep playing. And it's also an opportunity for other guys to step up and prove, you know what, we love Jimmy Butler. We need Jimmy Butler. What I take away out of all this is maybe Karl Anthony Towns is becoming a leader as well as an all-star at his position. We'll see. I mean, he's still got to go out and prove it night in, night out, but I like what I see.
And speaking of injuries, Steph Curry missed the game with the Timberwolves here. I know a lot of young fans, a lot of fans, period, were disappointed. Kevin Durant now out with broken ribs. He could be on the shelf for a couple of weeks. Golden State safely in the playoffs. He'll be able to return to help Golden State come back and ultimately defend their title.
Let me duck something in real quick because it's probably Houston 1, Golden State 2, or a flip-flop. And then everything else, 3 through 8, is up in the air. Minnesota, I would say this. You want to either be a 3, 4, 5, or 6 seed. If you go 7 or 8, you're going to play Rockets or Warriors in round one. If you're 3 through 6, whoever you play, you're going to be close to them in regular season record, and you have a good chance of winning round one. It's probably highly unlikely, unless you're Maryland, Baltimore County, that you're going to knock off the Rockets or the Warriors in round one.
Maryland, Baltimore.
But maybe they give everybody hope now, right?
And what's their nickname?
The Retrievers.
Yeah, that's cool. 10 minutes now in front of 6. We'll talk Vikes, Cousins, and more in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Championship Saturday, girls hoops 3A title coming up at Target Center. Robbinsdale Cooper against Northfield, 4A title game later on. Eastview and Hopkins. Congrats to the champions from earlier today. And 1A, Lyle Pacelli beat Sleepy Eye. The final in that one, 57-33. And then in the 2A title game, Sauk Center holds off Roseau, 63-52. Congrats to all the teams participating in the state tournament. Boys tournament next week. We'll talk more about the Vikes following the news and weather at 6. But Kirk Cousins, Warriors kept secret, ultimately signs with the Minnesota Vikings. 3 years, $84 million, Eric, guaranteed. No signing bonus. This money is guaranteed. Like you see in the NBA, the NHL, and the major leagues, Kirk Cousins is getting guaranteed money. And I think, and this is the only point I want to make before the news at 6, and we'll talk more about the other moves. This is a big deal. Guaranteed money.
Yeah, yeah. Is this going to set off a chain reaction for future deals in the NFL? It's certainly a win for the players' union potentially, because that's something they've wanted for a long time, guaranteed contracts. They don't have them. This is an exception. Kirk Cousins wins the NFL lottery. I mean, you think about it. 3 years, $84 million. Doesn't matter what happens, whether he's really good, average, really bad, gets hurt, he's going to collect the money.
It should be.
Vikings
That's how it
can
should
let
be.
Him go. He's going to collect the money.
That's how it should be. The NFL owners get guaranteed money with TV contracts and publicly funded stadiums and personal seat licenses. These owners live on guaranteed money, but they deny the players guaranteed money. And I'm not talking the superstars. I'm talking about the guys who fill out the special teams, the guys who play on both sides of the ball in the trenches. It is a travesty that these men toil in a game that's so brutal without guaranteed money.
Yeah,
it's preposterous.
And you know what? I bet the other owners around the league are not happy with this decision by the Wolves to guarantee the money.
All right. News and weather in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.